past. 6. Dinosaur cannibals? Personally, I suspect that a whole pack of full-grown T-Rex would have a very hard time finding enough to eat. Paleontologist Nicholas Longrich, Discovery News, October 15, 2010. While we're on the topic of large meat-eating animals embroiled in cannibalism-related controversies, I thought this would be the perfect time to bring up the topic of cannibalism in dinosaurs, or the lack thereof. Coelophysis bowri was one of the earliest dinosaurs, a carnivorous and remarkably bird-like biped that lived approximately 200 million years ago across what is now the southwestern United States. A fast runner, it stood about a meter tall at the hips and had an overall length of about 3 meters from snout to tail. Equipped with a mouthful of recurved and blade-like teeth, Coelophysis was thought to feed on smaller animals like lizards. In 1947, a team from the American Museum of Natural History, AMNH, working at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico, unearthed a huge bone bed composed of hundreds of Coelophysis skeletons. After examining the fossils, famed AMNH paleontologist Edwin Colbert claimed that the abdominal cavities of some of the specimens contained the bones of smaller individuals of the same species. Thus was born the cannibal Coelophysis hypothesis, and the subsequent portrayal of Coelophysis and other dinosaurs as cannibals. Reminiscent of the misconceptions concerning male-munching black widow spiders, the depiction of dinosaurs as cannibals remained unchallenged for decades. In 2005, another group of researchers from the AMNH set out to determine whether or not claims of dinosaur cannibalism could be supported. Led by paleontologists Sterling Nesbitt and Mark Norell, they performed detailed morphological and histological analyses of the bones, something Colbert did not do. Soon enough, the scientists uncovered a slight problem. Not only were the bones in question not from juvenile specimens of Coelophysis, they weren't even dinosaur bones. Instead, the fragments recovered from the abdominal cavities of the two relevant Coelophysis specimens belong to crocodilomorphs, a group that includes crocodiles and their extinct relatives, but not dinosaurs. Investigating further, Nesbitt and Norell determined that another example of reputed dinosaur cannibalism was also problematic. In a much publicized case, paleontologist Ace Jacobson reported in 1998 that bite marks on the bones of tyrannosaurs from the Dinosaur Park Formation in Alberta, Canada, were consistent with bite marks from conspecifics. The AMNH researchers, however, called this cannibalism claim into question by pointing out that there were actually two tyrannosaur genera, Gorgosaurus and Asplitosaurus, living at the site. Since even by its loosest definition, cannibalism requires that the participants be conspecifics, the potential that the predation took place between separate species led Nesbitt and Norell to raise a warning flag. They concluded that while cannibalism may be expected in non-avian dinosaurs, it was not as prevalent as was once supposed. In the limited realm of dinosaur cannibalism, an additional piece of evidence came from paleontologist Nicholas Longrich and several high-profile co-authors in 2010. The researchers discovered bite marks on 4 museum specimens of Tyrannosaurus rex. They reasoned that since T-Rex was the only large predator alive at that time, the score marks and gouges on the skeletons must have been made by conspecifics, and that the most likely scenario was that the marks had been made during scavenging of carcasses. Longrich and his co-workers concluded that their results provided solid evidence that cannibalism seems to have been a surprisingly common behavior in Tyrannosaurus, and this behavior may have been relatively common in carnivorous dinosaurs. I interviewed Mark Norell on a beautiful mid-September afternoon at the American Museum of Natural History. His lab is a dinosaur lover's dream, a remarkable fossil-filled space that opens into one of the museum's famous turrets. The view from Norell's high-ceilinged office was nothing short of spectacular, and as we talked, it was difficult not to look over his shoulder at the wide swath of Central Park below us. "I think there's very little evidence at all for dinosaur cannibalism," Norell told me, "although a lot of it really depends on what you'd call cannibalism. If a tyrannosaur dies and another tyrannosaur comes along and eats it, is that cannibalism? Or is that just scavenging a dead carcass? I have a picture around here someplace of a camel eating a dead camel that was lying there. Is that cannibalism?" I told him that I didn't consider hunting and killing to be prerequisites for cannibalism, and that, from what I'd learned, scavenging your own species was cannibalism. I used the example of besieged cities, where the victims of starvation or exposure were consumed, sometimes by their own relatives. As scientists began to study cannibalism in nature, some of the behaviors they observed expanded on the definition of cannibalism coined by Elgar and Crespi in the early 1990s. The requirement that the cannibal kill the conspecific before eating it was dropped, enabling certain forms of scavenging to be considered cannibalism, as was the necessity that the cannibal consume the entire victim. As a result, some forms of behavior now straddle a line between cannibalism and something else, in this case, scavenging. But even allowing for a broad definition of cannibalism, in the case of dinosaurs, Norell had some major problems with the evidence that Longrich had presented. For example, he said that the gouges on Longrich's T-Rex bones could have been inflicted by conspecifics fighting each other, not necessarily eating each other. According to Norell, the only compelling evidence for dinosaur cannibalism appeared to have occurred in the late Cretaceous theropod Majungasaurus crenatissimus, an example uncovered by geologist Raymond Rogers from multiple bone beds from a Madagascan rock formation thought to be between 70.6 and 65.5 million years of age. In a 2014 phone conversation, I asked Rogers how he had come to the conclusion that Majungasaurus was a cannibal. He explained that he'd been looking at dinosaur bones for decades, and that specimens from a particular region in Madagascar, dated to approximately 70 million years ago, had a remarkably high number of teeth marks. "Quickly enough, you start thinking about who could have made these bite marks, and in this instance, there are very few candidates." According to Rogers, there were only a few large carnivores living at the site, which they named MAD-05-42. One was a crocodile, which would have made no comparable traces on the bones, and the other a small theropod dinosaur, which had tiny little teeth. And then you've got Majungasaurus, which had large teeth. When you look at the scoring patterns on Majungasaurus bones, you can match them to the spacing of Majungasaurus teeth and their actual dentical patterns. So there's no potential that you might be missing another large predator, something you just haven't dug up yet? I asked. Right. I don't think we're missing anything. And if we are missing something, it would have to be big, and arguably, it would have to be rare. But the bite marks are anything but rare. So whatever it is, it would have to be really big, really cryptic, really rare, and it would have to bite everything, which doesn't make any sense. Basically, there are tons of bite marks that match the teeth of Majungasaurus, and nothing else matches those traces. I pressed on. So how do you know that these tooth marks on Majungasaurus bones weren't made during combat between conspecifics? Rogers said he had good evidence to prove that hadn't been the case. Elements of the vertebral column showed evidence of having been scraped and possibly gnawed. This type of late-stage scavenging took place after the limb muscles and the guts had been consumed, and when the scavenger had to work hard to obtain any further nutrition from the carcass. There's no evidence whatsoever for killing or jostling with conspecifics. There's evidence for feeding, and the evidence we have for feeding is consistent with some pretty focused effort. These bones were scraped. It was beginning to sound like Majungasaurus had been following two of Gary Polis's cannibalism-related generalizations. First, that incidence of the behavior increased during stressful environmental conditions, and second, that the absence of alternative food sources often led to cannibalism. So I asked Rogers if he believed that stressful environmental conditions could have driven Majungasaurus to scavenge conspecifics. "It kind of looks that way," he replied. "The overall reconstruction that we put together is pretty well supported. It seems like these ancient ecological systems were devastated again and again, and a lot of things died. I think that if you're a large meat-eating dinosaur, you'll capitalize on whatever there is to feed upon, and I have no doubts that a creature like Majungasaurus would take the resources that were available." Finally, I asked the paleontologist how prevalent he thought cannibalism had been among the dinosaurs. "I doubt that it was uncommon," Rogers replied. "What's uncommon is evidence, because I think that more often than not, animals can probably get their meals without heavily working bone. And when you're dealing with fossils, that's all you got. If it's not written on the bone, you're not going to get the story. So I don't think cannibalism was unique to any particular theropod group. When you drive around Montana today and see ground squirrels eating ground squirrels, and you read papers about dogs eating dogs and lizards eating lizards, it's pervasive. I have no doubts that cannibalism was widely practiced by dinosaurs. The fact that there have only been two cases of dinosaur cannibalism, that's just an artifact of paleontology and the scarcity of the fossil record." So, was dinosaur cannibalism a rare event? There appear to be two contrasting issues here. First, knowing what we do about the prevalence of cannibalism in the animal kingdom, it makes sense that dinosaurs might have exhibited the behavior for the same reasons other animals do, namely overcrowding, predation, competition, and hunger. Alternately, cannibalism is relatively rare in birds, the only surviving link to the Mesozoic dinosaurs. The problem with comparing the two groups, though, is that birds are gape-limited predators, while carnivorous dinosaurs certainly were not. Then there's the lack of widespread physical evidence that dinosaur cannibalism occurred. And because of this, some paleontologists, like Mark Norell and his colleagues, are unwilling to make any sort of speculative leap. Instead, their explanations for the strange bite marks on ancient T-Rex bones fall back onto behavior they do have evidence for, like fighting. According to Norell, "There's nothing like a smoking gun that anyone has ever presented to me and said, 'This is it.'" "Can you give me an example of paleontological 'this is it' moment?" I asked. Norell brought up the now generally accepted claim that modern birds were actually theropod dinosaurs and would therefore show similar anatomical and behavior traits. "We found evidence that dinosaurs sat on their nests," he said. "We were able to show that. Dinosaur feathers, we were able to show that. In our lab, we tend to be incredibly careful about what we say about this stuff, but no one has ever been able to come up with a total case for dinosaur cannibalism, like a member of the same species that's inside the body cavity, like Coelophysis was supposed to be." In a telling side story, Raymond Rogers provided another example of just how attractive the word cannibalism is to the media. "I took this story of dinosaur cannibalism to the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology meetings, and I called it conspecific scavenging, which is what I think it is. I remember that a guy from Science News looked at it, but nobody else really took much notice at all. I went home and thought about it, and I was like, you know, why don't I just call it cannibalism? So I did, and after that the story got in Nature, and it was on the front page of Google News for about a week." "Well, there you go," I responded with a laugh. "That word does set something off in us." "Right," Rogers agreed. "Before I knew it, USA Today was talking about dinosaurs, Chianti, and fava beans."